Hi there, and welcome to the Engage Customer Podcast. Our mantra is that organisations need to be where their customers are, cutting across internal silos and taking a more holistic view, delivering a consistent service across all channels, offline, online, social and mobile. For over a decade, we've helped some of the world's biggest brands engage with their target customers on a deeply emotional level with industry-leading conferences and online digital media. To find out more, visit engagecustomer.com.
In this episode, we sit down with Michaela Coco, Global Customer Experience and Innovation Manager at Nestlé Nespresso. Michaela strongly believes in CX to break the silos in the organization and drive business growth. In her career, she has led global CX transformation projects in international companies across many industries. She is currently responsible for the design and delivery of new value propositions, customer journeys, and experiences that will shape the future of Nespresso globally. We spoke to Michaela about what it's like to work at Nespresso and more about her recent projects and future plans.
So I started my career in marketing, as customer experience was not the topic that you could study at school back in the days. And then I found myself working for Vodafone, so a big telecommunication company. And at that time, Vodafone was going through a major CX transformation. And I joined a team that at the time it was called Zero Defect Customer Journey Team. So with the ambition of delivering the perfect experience to our customers. So that's where I started my career in CX. So I learned by doing, basically. And after that, I moved to different industries because from telco, I moved to utilities and then also consulting. As telco was a pioneering industry at that time, so all the other industries later, you know, wanted to kind of take inspiration for it. So I was able to, you know, transfer my knowledge to also other companies such as Deloitte and E.ON and now Nespresso.
And how and why did you start really focusing on the customer experience space?
Yeah, I think I have a passion. I discovered I have a passion for it. I think it's both, you know, hard skills and also soft skill and kind of human-centered mindset that you need to have. So you have to have kind of a natural inclination toward doing good things for people. I'm not a doctor, so I cannot do that. So what I can do to help people is to make sure that the experience they have in their daily life with products and services and brands is as positive as possible. So I really think, you know, I have a strong customer-centric mindset that always have brought me from job to job and company to company and growing my career in customer experience.
And I suppose at the heart of that is the desire to serve, is the desire to create value for other people, isn't it? And that is a high moral space to experience. Yes. It's intrinsically motivating, isn't it? So what are some of the common misunderstandings related to customer experience in your experience?
Yeah, no, this is a very interesting question because in my career, I have the opportunity to get in touch with a lot of suppliers, for example, or a lot of recruiters. And it's through these interactions that I understood there are a lot of misunderstandings about customer experience. I will just mention two that I think is the main ones. One is that customer experience equal to customer service. And the second one is that customer experience equal to UX, so to user experience. So let me start from the definition of CX. CX is the, we could define it as the, you know, all the sum of the interactions that a customer has with a brand and that creates the perception that the customer has of this brand. It can be measured through net promoter score, customer satisfaction, likelihood to stay, to continue using the product, and so on. So it's a broad topic. Customer service, I would say it's just, you know, a piece of the journey that is included in the customer service, in the customer experience. Of course, it's very important because your frontliners are basically the show window to your customers. And they are there, they have to have specific skills to support your customer, give them advice, and so on. But it's just, I would say, the human part even less human sometimes, because today we have chatbots and artificial intelligence, but I would consider as the human part of the CX, which is very important, but it's not CX. CX, it's broader. While UX, many times I you know, got contacted by recruiters saying, oh, we have a role for head of UX. I think you fit. Well, not really. To design user experience, you need to have different capabilities than a CX manager. User experience is the specific interactions that you have with the products and the services. And again, it's how the customer interacts with your products. So it's, again, part of a broader CX. It's another piece, very important piece. But it's something that you can fix. If it's not working, you can fix in short term. CX requires more like a mid-long-term strategy. UX, you can do it very easily short term. You change the user experience of your digital user experience, for example, service today. In the next week, you can already see some results because you measure the effort of the customers to go for experience, the clicks, and so on. So I understand it's customer service and UX are maybe more common terms than CX. So I understand there could be a confusion, but there are two important pieces of a broader CX.
That's very interesting. I remember many, many years ago, in fact, your name reminded me of a gentleman called Tommaso Zanzotto, who was the general manager of American Express. Back in 1984, now I'm showing my age a little bit here, but we launched a customer experience transformation in American Express in 1984. And he did a speech at one of the launch events where he talked about service to customers is what it's all about. And I remember the words exactly. He said, but you are my customer. I don't deal with many customers. You, my team, are my customer. I serve you. You serve somebody else and they serve somebody else. And eventually we serve the customer because customer is what it's all about. And all it's about is service. And I thought, well, that's a lovely, short, you know, culture at Nespresso. How customer driven is the culture at Nespresso? Or is it all just about external views of touch points and customer journeys and all the rest of it?
So at Nespresso, we have a customer-centric mindset. We know that, for example, to innovate, we cannot just design beautiful products using the latest technology. We really need to start from the customers. We need to design for the customers, and we need to design with the customers in mind. Otherwise, you know, it's very easy to fail. If you start from the technology and if you just look, you know, if I think about machines, at the beauty aspect of it. So I have to say we deliver always a full ecosystem to our customers. And, you know, we do that by, first of all, adopting human-centered methodologies, I would say. And then we do that by having a strong customer-centric governance. So even the fact that I sit, you know, in the innovation team and they cover both CX and innovation, it was a choice to put both souls under the same umbrella for a reason, to make sure that every innovation, whether it's the radical innovation or incremental innovation, is really made for the customers with the customer in mind. Of course, not forgetting the business objectives at the end of the day.
Oh, terrific. And what are some of the misunderstandings you think we find with the way in which people relate to customer experience?
So, yeah, as I said before, sometimes we only look at this. People look at some specific part of the journey without designing first a CX strategy, without you know, leading the projects with a customer journey management approach and not like silos. I think this is one of the biggest mistakes and one of the things that we should all be careful about. Should run journey management in our companies. We should really approach every project as a journey. So we start from the journey and then we decide, okay, what do we need to implement? What are the initiatives? What are the projects that we need to start and deliver in order to form the overall customer journey for our customers? So always starting from the journey and then finding the enablers, the initiatives, the best technology, the best people to design all the single blocks that will form the full experience. And this is very important because if you are project-led or like KPI-led or technology-led, it's very easy to invest a lot of money, for example, in the technology, and waste it because then it doesn't resonate with customers or consumers if you want to acquire new customers. So I believe this is very, very key. Always start from the customer.
Very good. That's a lovely description of the importance of the customer journey. Our previous speaker from Autotrader, we were discussing the impact of digital experiences versus real tactile experiences. Of course, making an espresso is a sensory extravaganza. It's touch, it's sensations, it's opening pods, it's a whole ceremony. It's a ritual, really, isn't it? Making a coffee, which is rewarding, And of course, whenever I then see your brand, I'm reminded of that experience and there's a connection. But we were talking about the fact that, you know, with cars, people buying new cars, they want to smell the leather, they want to smell the newness of the car, they want to touch it. How do you make the touch points in your customer journey reflect the sensory aspects of your brand? What is that a variable? Is that something you look at? Is it something you consider?
Yeah, so for sure the sensory aspect is very important for us. You know, coffee is all about senses, not only smelling, but also touching and so on. So what we try to do in order to bring this sensoriality to our, for example, digital channels, is that we try to humanize the digital experience as much as possible. Because not everyone, we know that not everyone wants to go to the boutique and buy coffees in our boutique or buy a machine in our boutiques. Sometimes they just prefer to do it online. And we need to make sure that we don't create an aseptic environment for them. So what we have recently done is the creation of what we call a digital welcome hub, where actually a customer can go on our website and they will find a video interactive experience that they can tailor based on their preferences. Basically, we are leveraging on the same technology used for a very famous TV series on Netflix, that you could just select your choices and the journey gets the shape that you want. And basically in these videos, we have a real coffee ambassador. So we have coffee ambassadors and coffee experts at Nespresso. So we don't have salespeople. We have coffee ambassadors that explain you everything that you need to know. Trying to, you know, get inside the origins of the coffee, telling stories about our farmers, for example, where the coffee comes from, how it's sourced, and so forth. And then, of course, if you want to experience even more, we invite you to come to our boutiques where we have tasting areas, and really every time you go there you can taste the coffee and you can have really a full experience. So our boutique became basically the most experiential touch point that we have. And now we're trying to humanize digital experience in order to transfer the boutique experience to our digital channels with all the limitations that we know, but that's what we are aiming at.
Brilliant, brilliant. So how are you going to... I'm going to bring this one in because it's a personal question. We've got COP26. We can't ignore it. And that's creating ripples and making everybody question themselves and ask themselves questions. You know, what kind of questions is this making Nespresso ask itself? The environment and what, you know, as gently as I can, I'll just put that in front of you to comment on, you know.
No, I was expecting this question. So no, I have to say Nespresso has been, this year has been nominated the most sustainable coffee company in the world. So we have very strong sustainability commitments. We have a team dedicated to that, a huge team dedicated to that. And what we do from customer experience point of view is to try to transfer everything that we do in terms of sustainability to our customers for them to, you know, have the right perception of how sustainable Nespresso is. So we are very, very attentive to farmers. We have pension funds for our farmers, for example. So we pay pension to our farmers. We ensure wow. that their kids can afford to go to school, for example. We work on local projects, for example, to make water drinkable. And of course, you know, the materials that we use are infinitely recyclable, and even our machines are very energy efficient. So at Nespresso, we have this trademark that we say doing is everything, because we first believe that, you know, we don't do greenwashing. What we do is sustainable. We act every day in a sustainable way, because for us, doing is everything. We use our aluminium to create new objects, for example. We use aluminium to recreate capsules. So it's really, I would say, the company priority. And as a CX manager, my role is to make sure that sustainability is embedded in every touch point that we deliver throughout the journey, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's maybe move on to a more traditional measure of an organization's success. Yeah. You know, how do you ensure you design and deliver solutions and innovations and your initiatives that you've just been describing yeah. are both customer-centric but also serve the needs of the business to grow and develop?
Yeah, so it depends if we're talking about improving an existing experience or delivering something radically and new and disruptive. But in any case, in general, the three main elements that we always take into consideration is our business and CRM KPIs. We consider these as red flags. So red flags. So if we see a KPI going a bit crazy, we know there is a red flag. We know there might be an issue with the experience of a particular journey or particular target of customers. So that's the red flag. And then, of course, we need to understand why. So we listen to the voice of the customer. Voice of the customer could be all the surveys that we do globally to our customer. It could be all the feedbacks that we get from the journey monitoring activities that we put in place. And these really help us in understanding the why of the KPI going up or down. And then, of course, we involve directly customers. So we speak to customers directly to understand the why. And then, especially when it's about delivering a radical innovation, we look at market opportunities out there. So areas that, as Nespresso, we're not covering and we might want to cover because we see a business opportunity. On top of this, every time we design new experiences and new customer-centric value propositions, of course, we look at the latest trends. So once we design the journey, we look at the latest trends in terms of also enablers, consumer behaviors, try to understand where the customers are going to. We saw a big shift, for example, in the last 2 years with pandemic of how consumers' behaviors are changing. Of course, we need to keep an eye out there and make sure we don't miss anything and we stay up to date with everything that is coming, not only now, but also in 5-10 years.
Brilliant. And the future, what's coming up as you move forward in the Nespresso story?
So I could say, of course, there's things I cannot share, but I could say that I could tell you a bit more about our approach of how we design the future of Nespresso. Basically, we need to ensure that we create something that brings value for the company and for the customers. The secret to this is to basically involve the customers since the beginning of the design process. So I'm working on projects that will be implemented in 5-10 years. I'm already involving customers now, you know, to make sure that what I will deliver in 5-10 years will resonate with them. So the future is promising for sure. The coffee industry is evolving a lot. Services and experience are becoming the most differentiating factors. So this is where we need to focus for sure. So we have quality coffee, we have quality products, we have already a great experience, and we believe that we need to innovate in all these three pillars, not just stand alone, you know, and create a full ecosystem.
Terrific. And as a team of people, You know, are you all in one place? Do you have a hybrid setup? What, you know, how have you navigated through COVID, and what kind of organization do you have now?
So I have to say, you know, I'm based in Switzerland. In Switzerland, we've been quite lucky with COVID. So I've been back to the office after 4 or 5 months of the beginning of the pandemic, and then back home again, and so on. The Nespresso HQ is scattered among different countries, but we are a global company, so we really design everything centrally, but we've got the collaboration of the markets in order to be relevant for each market. So we design the CX strategy centrally, and then we deploy to all the markets. And why we do this? Because, as we know, the Nespresso experience, whether you are in the US, you are in Italy, you are in Japan, it's going to be the same. So that's another key success factor. You drink Arpeggio in US, and you go to the boutique in US, it's the same exact coffee and experience you will get in Japan. How we ensure that? We design experiences and innovation globally. So that's how we are structured.
Terrific. Well, Michaela, that's been a fascinating view of the Nespresso world and your approach to the marketplace, your approach to innovation and customer experience. I love the ways in which you're breaking down the barriers between what could be separate functions. I think, you know, as we form ecosystems out of what used to be departments, you know, that's going to be the future, and it's going to be about communities. It's going to be about we. It's going to be about serving and creating value. And if we're not doing that, we're going to become redundant and not have any good people working for us. So I really value the way you've shared that message with us. So that was brilliant. Thank you very much. And I hope to see you over here on one of our in-person events next year.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.